Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 2. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street, or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bow be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern." Verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Help the simple sermon to make an impact on our lives. May all of us take the time to think through the subject of tonight's sermon. Father, our lives are a wonderful gift that you've given us, but they do end. We do come to the end of our journey eventually, and may we live our lives, and may that journey be pleasing to you. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I think before I tell you exactly what the sermon's all about, I have to share this with you. A dinner speaker was in a hurry to get to his speaking engagement, and he finally arrived at his table and he sat down. When he sat down, he realized he had been in such a hurry. He didn't bring his false teeth with him. He was looking around the table and he said to the man beside him, he said, "I forgot my teeth." The man said, "Oh, don't worry." Guy pulled out a set of teeth, handed them to the guy. The speaker said, "These are a little small." The guy said, "No worry." Reached in another pocket, pulled out another set of false teeth. The fella stuck them in his mouth. He said, "These are way too loose. The first ones were too tight." The man said, "No problem." The guy reached into his briefcase, pulled out a third set of false teeth, handed it to the man. He put them in. He said, "Perfect. These are perfect." The speaker ate his meal. He got up. He spoke to the people. He got done. They cheered. He sat down. He sat down by the guy and he said, "Whew, I can't believe the Lord was in this." He said, "What are the chances I would forget my teeth at such a terrible moment, but I sat right down by a dentist that could help me?" The man said, "Oh, I'm not a dentist. I'm a mortician." I had to tell that joke. I thought it was a good one. When we were reading here in Ecclesiastes, what you have is you have Solomon, and he is now an old man. Solomon has had everything in life that a man could want. But he has found, however, that his life had somewhat been wasted because he was chasing after things to make him happy. And what's happening here, he gathers his family and his relatives, all of his kinfolk, probably his employees and his servants. And I don't know if you could picture it. Here is Solomon, a very, very successful man, but he's very old and he's very near death, and he's probably sitting in a rocking chair on his back porch, and he's got all his family, all of his servants gathered around him, probably has a lap blanket, and he's rocking. And if you read this last chapter or so of the Song of Solomon, what's happening is Solomon is telling them, "I've kind of wasted my life. Look right this way." He speaks of the things under the sun as he explains them. He speaks of the things that he's had. In Ecclesiastes 1:3, he said, "I had physical strength, but that really didn't make me happy." In Ecclesiastes 1, verse number 9, he speaks of the things that he received. In Ecclesiastes 1:14, he spoke of the works that he did. In Ecclesiastes 2:11, he talks about his profits and how he profited. In Ecclesiastes 2:19, he speaks of how smart he was. He talks about virtually payment in Ecclesiastes 2:20 and power in Ecclesiastes 3:16. In Ecclesiastes 3:18, he even talks about some understanding that he had. He talks about animals that he had. But he said, this has all been vanity. All vanity. Now understand, he was the wisest man on the face of the earth at one point and the richest man on the face of the earth. And now he's an old man. He's about to die. And all these people that admire him are sitting around and he's rocking. He said, I've had it all. He said to his family, he said, I've had it all. He said, but I sit here and I feel like such an empty man. I'm about to die. I've had everything that everybody in the world would think that they would want. Do you know that Solomon, as he listed what he had had, the richest man in the East, I told the choir this earlier, some words of the song that we sang talked about the half has not been fancied, this side the golden shore. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth, and word had spread all the way around the world how rich Solomon was. There was a queen, a country called Sheba. The queen of Sheba left her country and traveled, and it took her, I think back then it would have taken her probably months to travel the way they traveled. She left her kingdom, if you will, and traveled all the way to where Solomon was to see if everything the world had heard about how rich he was true. When she got there, she was so amazed. She got a tour of what Solomon had, and she didn't have time to look at it all because there was so much. It was so vast. And the words are said that the queen of Sheba said, the half cannot be fancied. You can't even picture. We've not even seen half. So a lot of times you hear how famous somebody is. You get up close and they're half as famous as what they thought. Well, in the case of Solomon, he was twice as famous, not half. The Queen of Sheba, that's how rich he was. Now you got to understand something. Solomon's an old man. He's sitting on the rocking chair and he's trying to explain to the people that he loves, I think I've wasted my life. He was the wisest man in the world. He had had virtually, if you think a man or a woman in life will make you happy, Solomon had 800 wives and 200 concubines. I usually just call them combines, but I wouldn't do that. 1,000 wives, it says, but it didn't make him happy. Brother Nofsinger said, that's easy to understand. He was an author. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. He had hundreds and thousands of servants. And he was a king of Israel. And he had the nicest house in the world. And he was the most famous man in the world. He owned parks. He owned zoos. He owned farms. He was highly educated. He had any hobby that he wanted. He withheld nothing from himself. But now he's an old man sitting on the back porch. He has a lap blanket on. And he's trying to explain to everybody, I had everything that the world would want. It's all vanity. Not a bit of it really made me happy. And of course he'd go chasing after one thing and find out that didn't make him happy. And he had enough money. He'd go chasing after something else and find out that that didn't make him happy. And he is actually, if you have your Bible open there to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let me show you. He's describing now himself. And some of you are going to very quickly associate with what he's about to say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 2, he tells us his eyes were getting bad. It says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, his eyes are getting bad. He's losing his sight. In Ecclesiastes 12:3, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, you know how you keep your house with your hands. His eyes are going bad, his hands now trembling. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:3, it says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. You say, what is it talking about? His back. Seeing as a man's work through the years, he begins to stoop a bit. He doesn't see as well. His hands tremble. He's not steady like he once was. In Ecclesiastes 12:3 again it says, and the grinders cease because they be few. Anybody here grind anything that you have about your body? Your teeth. His grinders cease. Why? Because they're few. His teeth have now fallen out. They didn't have orthodontists back then. They had more money back then too, I'm sure. But his teeth have given him trouble now, so his hands are trembling. He can't see as well. Night driving is a big challenge to him. His back is bowed. In Ecclesiastes 12:3 it says, "And those that look out the windows be darkened." Glasses. He was looking out the windows that had been created for him because he couldn't see well. Ecclesiastes 12:4 it says, "When the sound of the grinding is low." Now it's talking about some sound being low. His hearing is going. As you grow older, you begin to lose some of these things. You don't see as well. You don't hear as well. Your hands tremble. Your back is bowed. Then it says in Ecclesiastes 12:4, it says, "He shall rise up at the voice of the bird." I think that there might have been, once he got startled in his sleep, there are people in here that have gotten into their senior years. You get startled in your sleep. It's sometimes hard to get back sleep. You just don't sleep as long and as comfortably. Look at verse number 5. Ecclesiastes 12:5, it says, "They shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way." You get a little older, you used to climb up on a roof very quickly. You get a little older, it's climbing up on that roof's not as easy. Heights are a little scary as you grow older. Why? Your bones get brittle. You fall, you break a hip, you break an arm. It doesn't heal like it would on a little one. And you have now some fears that you wouldn't have had when you were younger. Now, you all understand, here's Solomon. He's sitting on the back porch of the most beautiful house in the kingdom. And he's talking. He's talking to his family. He's talking to the people that he loves. He said, I'm old. I don't see well. I don't hear well. My grip is gone. I don't climb up on the roof anymore. I don't sleep as well as I used to sleep. I've got some fears. And Ecclesiastes 12:5, it says, "And the grasshopper shall be a burden." I'm going to guess things wear on him a little quicker. He's a little jumpy. I didn't used to understand that. We would gather our four kids and go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And they were so glad to see us come, and they were so glad to see us go. Because, you know, we were used to the kids and we were young and our nerves were a little more tolerable of all the kids' shenanigans. But I could see my mom and dad, the kids got on their nerves a little more quickly. And hey, my dad let me jump off the top of the house when I was a kid and didn't care. Now the grandkids are there and they can't jump off, you know, a footstool without dad being worried. What's going to happen? Well, what had happened? Growing older. It's a part of it. And the Bible tells us they're a little jumpy. Look at Ecclesiastes 12:5, the last part of the verse. It says, "And desires shall fail." As you grow older, there are desires of life that fail. Physical relationship between a husband and wife, it begins to narrow down. The appetites in life, the foods, the desire to accomplish and achieve. And you say, you know, when was the last time you met an 85-year-old that said, "I'm going to start a business"? No, all they want to do is go to the table and have their coffee hot. The desire for accomplishment and achievement, it begins to go. And as we're looking at this, remember, you have the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. He's gathered his family and everybody that he loves. He's rocking. And he's saying to them, "I'm not the man I used to be. I've gotten old." Now, and everything he tries to tell everybody, everything that I was chasing after, now I see it was not fulfilling. It really didn't do for me what I thought that it would. Now, young people, let me tell you something. When we say to you, you're going to grow old someday, most of you are not going to give a moment's thought to that. But I want you to hear it. Everybody here, you're going to grow old someday. Listen, when I first became pastor, I think we really, in regard to our drive-in crowd, we didn't have a lot of children. Now we have a lot of children in our church. Matter of fact, they are everywhere. Matter of fact, there's some of them right now or somewhere where we don't even know where they are, but they're here. But there's a youthfulness. And it's awful easy for us in our youth to want to deny the fact that we are going to grow old someday. I would have never thought in a million years I would ever find myself concerned about a thing called retirement. Now, I like to put new tires on my car, but retirement, where I was going to be old enough that maybe I might not do all the work that I once did, never thought of it. Now, to everybody in here, I realize there's a handful of people, you're at retirement age. But there's a massive group of people in here that you're nowhere near it. There are some, you're halfway there. And all I want to do is I want to remind you, you're going to grow old someday. And there's some things I'd like for you to be careful of. I don't want you, one day, on your deathbed, to look back over your life and say, like Solomon did, I lived a life, but I have some regret. Let me show you how to keep that from happening. Let me say, number one, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your spouse. Don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your spouse. Some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to grow old and will have found yourself tolerating your marriage all the way through instead of trying to enjoy it. Why don't you live your life and live toward your husband or live toward your wife in such a way that when you're old, your memories of your time together has been good. Don't make it so that you have damaged your relationship and on your deathbed you're looking back and saying, I could have made that so much better. Now, look, you might think, well, I've got plenty of time to do it. You don't know how much time you have. Every man here ought to love your wife so deeply, and she ought to know it, and you should not allow yourself to grow old without expressing that love to your wife. Every wife here, you ought to serve and love your husband, and you do it in such a way that there are abundant memories, and they're good memories, because you will grow old someday. Let's face it, what is the prominent relationship for two human beings? It's really, it's husband and wife. You know, you say, no, it's my kids. I'm very sorry to tell you this, but you were together before you had those kids, and you'll be together after those kids leave your home. And I know while you have kids at home, you think that's the biggest thing going, and I'm glad you invest yourself in your kids, but you understand they're only with you for 18, 19, 20 years, and then they go. Well, that doesn't mean they don't want any more of your money after that, but it means they're not necessarily living at your house anymore. And so, but a husband and wife, Mrs. Owens and I, will celebrate, is it 34th anniversary? Not, okay. Our kids lived in our home to 18, 19 years of age, but we've been married for 34, and we'll go on to be married for 40 and 50 and 60 years. Understand something. That relationship of marriage is a big deal, and I don't mean this negatively. I was going to say it eats up, but what I mean is it fills up the mass of your life, and it is the prominent relationship upon the face of this earth. Make your marriage work at that and solve the issues and make it so they're pleasant memories. Why? You're going to grow old someday. You ever seen an old person that spent years and years and years miserable in their marriage and just didn't enjoy it? So if you're married, you're going to grow old someday. Make the memories good. Secondly, don't grow old and regret the way that you have treated your children. You're going to grow old someday. Give your children some good memories. There are some of you that have adult children. Can I recommend something to you? Could you stop fussing with them and fighting with them? Look, if there are issues that cannot be discussed, stop discussing the issues. Try to figure out a way to have a decent relationship with your grown children. You say, why? You're going to die someday. I have never met someone on their deathbed who said, I wish I wouldn't have had this good relationship with my kids. I'll tell you, I have been at the deathbed of many. And I have watched women and men alike with tears in their eyes saying, I'm going to die at odds with my kids. Why didn't I do something about this before now? I've watched kids that won't even go to the hospital while their parents are dying. To me, that is sad. You know, and I know you can have children that they're not doing right or there's been hurt. Let me say to everybody here, in spite of all that, they're your kids. Figure out some way to make peace with this thing and get a decent relationship. I'm not trying to scare you. You're going to die. And if you have a child right now that you don't have a decent relationship with, get it right before you die. Don't die that way. But maybe even worse than sudden death is to grow old and have had years to attend to it, and you never fixed your relationship with that child. And it may never be the kind of spiritual relationship you want. And I feel bad for you about that. But do something to try to keep that relationship strong. So I say, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your mate. Don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your children. Hey, don't grow old and regret the way you've handled your finances. Now, folks, I can help you with this, and I want to help you with this. Don't spend what you don't have. Children and teenagers, look at your preacher for a second. I want every one of you to know that you have to learn how to save money. You don't make money and spend every penny you get your hands on. You don't spend more money than what you have. You don't trust the bank to decide how much money you ought to spend to buy a house. You don't trust a realtor to help you decide how much money you ought to spend on a house. You plan for a thing called retirement. You say, oh, preacher, I'm 13. You listen to your preacher now. You had better start preparing for your old age. You said when I'm a teenager? Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I won't be around when some of you teenagers are 70 years of age. But if you'll do what I'm telling you at 70, you're going to say, I had an old preacher that stood and told me not to let my life pass and not prepare for my old age. And you'll be very happy. You'll say, boy, I wish I could tell him about it. And you will. You'll get to heaven and you'll be able to say, preacher, I did it. We had a pleasant old age. Our old age time was much more pleasant because we planned for it. Now, to you young married couples, you better get control of your finances. Hey, I realize emergencies come and catastrophes happen, but for the most part, in your thinking, you ought to be preparing for old age. I don't believe Social Security is going to care for all your needs. I don't even know if you young married couples are going to have Social Security when it gets here. I don't know. Maybe the Lord will come back. But I want to tell you something. You're banking on the Lord to come back. People have been banking on that for a long time. We ought to live our life like He could come tomorrow, but we ought to also live our life with enough sense that if He does not come tomorrow, we're not foolish in the way we've handled ourselves. To everybody in here, it's time for some of you to learn how to control your finances. Do you spend everything that you make? If you do, that's wrong. Matter of fact, it's unscriptural. It's unscriptural. The Bible tells you, you should not spend everything you make. You live in America. In America, you can buy a house. You can have a home in America. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. It's a tremendous investment. But now I'll have some people say to me, well, I don't want to buy a house. Most people want to buy a house. They just can't control their finances, or they've got them so boogered up and their credit's so bad that they can't. So they say they don't want. I'll say to everybody, get your finances under control. You say, why? You will grow old. There'll come a day when you can't make any more money. There'll come a day when you've either put it aside and earned it and put it aside, or you just won't be able to make any more. Why? You say, why? Your hands tremble. You can't see. Your back is bowed. You can't sleep. They're not going to hire you to coach the soccer team when you're 90. And so, you're going to grow old someday. I wish you could all figure out, there are people in here, I wish you could figure out how much money you've made already in your lifetime. I hear people say, well, I wish I was a millionaire. There are more than one millionaire in here. We just spent it all. All you have to do is figure up how much you make and figure that out between you and your wife and all the money that's come in. Add it all up. Figure out how much money you have made. There are lots. You know, Alan and I were talking earlier about that very small percentage of people that are ultra wealthy in America. You know something, those of us that come from what we'd call middle class America have an awful lot of money that come through our hands through the years. You just add up your annual salary and a spouse's annual salary, and you add it up long enough, you're going to find out an awful lot of money comes through. What do we have to show for it? McDonald's bags, toys, but you're going to grow old someday. And when you do, the people that are in their senior years hear someone say, you better save up for your senior years. It's not as easy as what you think. They'd say to you, yeah, young people, you better save up. I'm there. It's not easy. But very few listen. I just say, you will grow old someday. Don't regret the way you've treated your mate. Don't regret the way you've treated your children. Don't regret the way that you've handled your finances. Hey, don't regret not having served the Lord with your life. You're going to grow old someday. You know, I've never met anybody that on their deathbed said to me, preacher, I regret having served the Lord the way I did through the years. Never. I have been at the deathbed with people that were holding my hand when they passed into eternity. I've watched more than one person draw their last breath, die, and pass into eternity. Never one time have I heard anyone say, I am sorry that I've served the Lord like this. Never once. But I can tell you this, I've been there with more than one that said, I wish I would have served God. I wish I wouldn't have come up with all the excuses as to why I couldn't be faithful at church. I wish I would have done something more with my life for God. Hey, don't die and have that regret that you didn't accomplish something for God. People that serve the devil through their life have pretty rough deathbed experiences. People that have served the Lord have something worthwhile to pass on. Let me say, number five, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your parents. And you will grow old someday. You will grow old. Oh, everybody here, if your parents are still alive, don't allow your mom or your dad to pass away without having fixed relationships that need to be fixed. Don't let that happen. You'll regret it. You'll regret it the rest of your days. You say, but my dad can be a jerk. All dads can be jerks at times. You say, my mom, she's just a bad person. Let me tell you something. Even if your parents are the worst parents on the face of the earth, they gave you the one thing that you needed. You say, what's that? Life. They gave you life and you owe them a great debt. And I'm just saying to you, everybody here, make sure that you love on your mom and dad. I'm not saying you ought to be like them. I think some of you have parents that I don't think you ought to live where they're at. I don't think you ought to be like them. I don't think that at all. I think you ought to love them. I would like it when you're on your deathbed to be able to say, I love my mom. I love my dad. I'd like it when they're on their deathbed to you be able to go and look them right square in the face and say, Mama, I love you. And her to say, I know. I know. Children, teenagers, treat your mom and dad right. You treat your mom and dad right. I watched a young man that was at odds with his father, and his daddy suddenly passed away, and him and the boy had been fighting and fussing and could not get along, and a 17-year-old boy went to his dad's funeral who suddenly died of a heart attack, and that 17-year-old boy was a mess. He said, the last words I said to my dad is that I said, you're a bully and I hate you. And he said, I did not know that within 24 hours my dad was going to fall over dead. And he said, Brother Owens, he was not a bully and I did not hate him. I was mad and I was out of control and I said something I shouldn't have said. And my dad died thinking that I hated him. And that boy was a mess. He said at that funeral and bald and you, I thought he was going to fall apart. I had to meet with him and meet with him and meet with him to get him calmed down. His grades dropped. Let me tell you, you love on your mom and you love on your dad because you're going to grow old someday. But let me tell you, you get that relationship fixed. Hey, don't grow old and regret the way you've chosen your friends. You better get some good spiritual friends. I don't have time to go into it, and I'm not going to go into it, but you better get a friend that encourages you to be more spiritual, not less spiritual. That's the best thing you can do. Get a friend that will help you to be more spiritual, not less. Hey, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your body. You're going to grow old. And for everyone here, what you've already done, we can't change that. I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to hammer on you for everything you did in the past. But let me tell you, you do have from here on out. You do realize you're hurting your body. If it's the alcohol or the cigarettes or the immorality or the drugs, look, don't destroy your body. You're going to regret it. You're going to regret that. You're going to grow old, and for some, your old age for you might be 50. You say, why? That's all you're going to get because of the way you've abused your body. But boy, and again, I have never met one person on their deathbed who said, I kept my body healthy. I stayed away from the vices that destroy me. And them to say, and I'm very sorry that I did. Oh no, I've watched many people on their deathbed who said, I abused my body and I'm very sad. I'm dying. I could be living longer. I could have overcome this if I would have been stronger in my old age. A gentleman that I had privilege to meet, his name was Frank Buckles. When I met Frank, Frank was 104 years of age, and he was one of the very few World War I, World War II veterans that were still alive. He came to our church. Matter of fact, he got saved at our church, 104 years of age. And I asked him, I said, Frank, tell me a little something. How you kept yourself alive all these years? He said, a hot dog and a half cup of coffee every day. A hot dog and a half cup of coffee every day. 104 years of age. So our church gave him a gift. I went to the restaurant where he ate, and I told them, I said, I want to pay for Frank Buckles a cup of coffee and hot dog for the rest of his life. Anytime he comes in, you give me the bill. For the rest of his life, I'm going to pay for Frank's hot dog and half cup of coffee. Let me tell you all something. Don't abuse your body. Look, I don't think everything the doctor is going to tell you to do is going to cure all your issues. But there are times when the doctor is telling you something that you need to do to salvage your life, to salvage your body. Don't you be rebellious against it. And don't be so set in your ways that you don't do what you need to do. I want you to grow as old in life as what God wants you to do, as old as God wants you to grow, which means take care of your body. Don't abuse your body. Try to stay in shape. Hey, even those of you that retire, be careful not to lay down and play dead at retirement time. Keep moving. Stay active. Keep those arms and legs active and try to keep your mind active. You want to stay healthy. You're going to grow old someday. The better you care for your body, the better off you are. The better you care for your relationship with mom and dad, the better off you are. The better you care for your relationships with your children, the better off you are. The better you care for your finances in your old age, you're going to be glad that you did. Hey, and I'm done, but I just want to make this one last application. Don't grow old, and when you get there, and it's time to die, you have the very same weakness that you started this whole journey with. There are some that have a temper problem. You had it when you were 13, and now you're 73, and you still have a temper problem. What did you do with your life? There are some, you became bitter. You became bitter early in life. So you're bitter through the first 10 years and then another 10 years. If you're not careful, you're going to be on your deathbed bitter. Why in the world would you waste 10, 20, 30, 40 years with that same weakness of bitterness in your life? Get it cared for. You're going to grow old. You're going to wish that you would go to your grave saying, you know, when I was a young man, I had a temper issue, but by God's grace, I got it under control. You're going to go to your grave and you're going to be nasty. Have you ever been to the nursing home where someone was bitter through life and they took it in the nursing home and you walk in, they're just as nasty and mean and hateful, and you're wondering, what did I do to you? Nothing. Bitterness has just overcome them, and they're going to die bitter. You walk in and talk to them for a moment, they're just spewing venom everywhere. They're hateful and nasty and rude. You're going to grow old. You better hope you don't become that. Your lack of self-control, your laziness, your jealousy, your lack of commitment, your greed, your pride. Look, folks, God gave us our life to work on those things and to fix them. Don't grow old and die with the very same weakness you had when you were a teenager. Overcome it. Hey, let's let people see that which maybe controlled you when you were young that God gave you victory, and that is not indicative of what you are. Live down those weaknesses with victory provided through Jesus Christ in the Scripture. The whole sermon, though, is Solomon. He's rocking. Got him a lap blanket, and he's saying to everybody he loves, I'm old, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't sleep, I can't work, I'm afraid of heights. And he's trying to tell everybody, don't waste your life. Love the people you're to love. Prepare yourself for old age in your heart, with your finances, in your relationships, because you will grow old someday. As we watch, Mrs. Owens has lost both of her parents, grandparents, a long, long time ago. I watched a dad pass. I tell you what, the older you get, the more you see you getting closer to the end of the line than what you thought. And if you're young, you may not listen to a thing I'm saying. But one day you'll wish you would have. You'll wish you would have. And Solomon said, it's all been vanity. I gathered my life, did what I wanted. Now I look back and say, what was I thinking? Let's not do it that way. Let's look back and say, you know, I'm pleased with the way I love the people I was supposed to love. Here I am, I'm passing, but my heart's clean and clear toward the issues of life that God would have wanted me to be clean and pure about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? We'll help you. But to everybody, hey, and you know something? No matter how old you are, you say, well, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 80s, but you're still alive and there's time to fix some things. God has you alive for a reason. Just remember, you will grow old someday. I wish somebody in their heart tonight, and I'll preach on this someday, I wish somebody in their heart tonight would say, you know what? I'm going to figure out a way to begin to prepare for my old age financially. I'm going to figure it out. Even if it's a little, I'm not going to let this thing creep up on me. I'm not going to let it overwhelm me or overtake me. Let's plan for the day when we'll be too old to fix some things. Let's fix it now while we have the chance. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you needed a moment at the altar, you come. Let's get it together for the sake of when we grow older. I know there are people that are at odds with family members, and I'm not trying to get you to subject yourself to abuse, but I am saying make it a concern. Try to rebuild that relationship with a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad. I don't want you to be like them. I don't want you to give up your convictions or your standards. But what I want you to do is to be able to at least lay your head on the pillow of your deathbed and say, I put forth effort to have a right relationship with mom, with dad, with a brother or a sister. I put forth effort. And you might not be wealthy at retirement time, but are you going to put forth the effort? Are you going to try? You know, if you'll do all you can, God can step up and help with the rest. God has a way of taking care of His people, but God's not going to do it all for you. With your body, I taught a series here at the church on health. We called it God's Health Care Program. If you remember correctly, we talked about our health over and over and over again. Folks, take care of your body. Make it so that when you're on your deathbed, you can look at God and say, God, I've done what I can to care for my body. I have done what I needed to do to try to keep the body you gave me healthy so I could serve you. You will grow old someday.